Hey, welcome to the Power Friendship Podcast, episode 100-something. All right, 100-something. I don't remember what we're supposed to. Welcome to the Power Friendship Podcast. I'm your host, Sailor Gaze, and you have a special guest today. What's your name? Say your name, all that stuff.
My name's Arielle, and I use she, her pronouns, and I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Here at the Power Friendship, we're all about friendship and making friends. Comment, subscribe, and all that good stuff. Thank you. First question. How are we? I'll just give you like 7 seconds. It's okay. It's so weird. Hello?
Okay. You got disconnected from me for a sec. Sorry.
Yeah. It's so weird. We're talking like end pause. They'll fix it in post, but all I pause is like every 5 seconds. Like every 5 seconds. Oh. Okay. Hello?
Hi.
Oh, okay. Woo! Okay. All right. I was like, All right. So the first question is, how are you?
Oh, man. It keeps breaking up. I'm like not hearing you.
Yeah. It's so weird. It's so weird. Sorry about that. I'm trying to fix it. There we go. All right. Let me try now. All right. Okay. You're fine. Okay. Are we good now? Are we good?
I can hear you, I think.
Okay. How are you today?
I'm good. I just woke up and started getting ready for my day, so I'm feeling pretty productive and fresh and clean, ready to take on the weekend ahead of me.
Awesome. Okay. You're in a nerdy space a lot, and you read comics, movies, video games. What are you digging right now, like in pop culture right now? What are you digging?
In pop culture, what am I digging right now? Honestly, the main pop culture icon that's occupying my brain space right now is Charlie XCX, a hyperpop musician, and like her new song, Von Dutch. Like, I want to say I'm engaging with other media, but I'm telling you, that song just came out this week, and I've probably streamed it over 100 times on repeat in the shower, at the gym, walking home from the bar.
Yes.
It's really, like, occupying my mind.
Charlie XCX is got like she's got like I like her music. I think she's really good. She's up there. Her competitors are like, and I was like, yo, okay, I'm dealing with it.
Sorry, you broke up again. I don't know if I can. I don't know if there's something on my end, like if it's my Wi-Fi, but like
it's Riverside. It's always like yeah, man, you know me. What other artists do you listen to?
What artists do I listen to? My number one is Lady Gaga, and okay. I'd say my number two is Charlie XCX, but okay. I've also lately been listening to a lot of Joan Jett, David Bowie, Madonna, and a bunch of different genres of music. When I'm feeling nostalgic, I listen to emo music, My Chemical Romance, for sure. That was probably the music I was listening to back when we first became friends.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Wide range of music.
That's awesome. Okay, if you could have someone play you in a movie, who would they be? Who would play you in a movie? Like your life story.
My life story. That is a good question. You know, someone yesterday on my TikTok said I looked like Brittany Broski. And I could not disagree more. And I honestly would not have her play me in my life story. But that comparison is on my mind because I could not believe someone came in my comments and said that. But a pop culture star I could see playing me is maybe... Oh my gosh. I don't know. Do you have any suggestions? I have a hard time
Oh, you, Rachel Sanat. Rachel Sanat from Bottoms. From Bottoms? Yes,
I would love.
Yo,
I would
you. Rachel Sanat. I see it. Yeah, Rachel Sanat would be perfect for, yeah, I can see that.
Rachel Sanat, I think, or Rachel Sanat, I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Yeah.
My Jewish passing princess. She could definitely play my
she could play you. Sydney Sweeney too. I can see it. I can see it. You were there. Yeah. Okay. What genre your last story movie would be? What would it be? Who would you want?
My genre would probably be like a campy queer comma drama, drama comedy.
Okay.
Gay movie, like similar to Bottoms or But I'm a Cheerleader.
Okay. Okay. It's
my favorite movie. So I really like that kind of gay camp.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. All right. Comics. All right. I know you love comics.
Last yes. comic.
Okay. Okay. What are you reading right now?
Oh my gosh. Do I have a confession? So we first met when I was working my dream job at the comic book shop in Wilmington, Delaware. And I was an avid Image fan, DC sometimes, mainly independent comic books. And honestly, these past years, I haven't been reading as many comics, which is definitely a problem. But I have been revisiting some of my favorites with my friends who I met at the gay clubs who also read comics. And we've kind of been bonding over that. So I recently okay. gifted my friend Pierce, who's the door girl at my favorite bar, Come On Everybody, my favorite comic book of all time, Batwoman Elegy. And I was revisiting some of that artwork and the storytelling okay. and the costume design. And that's like a classic for me. And we've also been talking a lot about Saga, and I'm hopefully going to be rereading that and then catching up to like the latest volume. You know, it's very political, and a lot of the themes in Saga based off of the wars in the Middle East, like Iraq and Afghanistan. I think there's a lot of parallels between that inspiration in Saga and what's happening now in Gaza, Palestine, and a lot of the imagery that Saga uses is unfortunately very familiar to what we're seeing now.
Yeah. Oh, that was a big question.
Damn.
Yeah, I jumped like... right into that.
I know, right? I love it. I love it. I love it. I love
how sorry for jumping in.
Yeah, well, Ben is here. Shout out to Benny. Benny J. Blanco. He's the man. He wrote a book. He's amazing. He's beautiful. Tell him you love him. Send him all those things, okay? Yeah, she would play. What is she? All right, so I asked her who would play her in a movie, and she was like, Rachel Sennott. I said Rachel Sennott or Sydney Sweeney. That's what I said. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. Who would you want to play you in a movie, Benny?
Me? Dude, yeah. I don't know how many cool Puerto Rican actors, man. That's the only issue. No, bro, he's too overworked. Yeah. Overbooked.
Okay. Taylor Pascal, would you look for me? Pick your ass up. I want Tom Hanks for me.
Shut up. I don't care. Bro.
I want the controversy. God. I want the smoke. Yo, he would kill it as me. Tom Hanks would kill it.
Yeah, get the guy that plays as the fucking Nate from Euphoria.
Jacob Lordy?
Jacob.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
For you.
Jacob, all right. You know what? Jacob would be pretty good. His Elvis is wild. His Elvis is wild.
Oh, did you watch it, Priscilla?
Did you watch it? I watched like 30 seconds and I was like, I'll get to it. It's not bad.
So you're not going to watch it.
I watched Saltburn. I watched it. I like him. Saltburn's wild. Did you watch Saltburn, Ariel?
I did watch Saltburn. Honestly, I didn't think it was as crazy and perverted as everybody's making it out to be.
Really?
That movie is perverted at the graveyard scene. That graveyard scene was weird.
That was good. I think it should have ended there. That's my take.
That would have been good.
Ended the movie. I hate when directors think I'm dumb. I hate when a writer thinks I'm dumb. Like, okay, I didn't need the whole story to be handed to me, like literally, like to me. After the graveyard scene, I felt like everything else was unnecessary and stuff we already could have figured out intuitively.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, it was a little kooky, but I wouldn't say that's like the most perverted thing I've seen.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of movies.
Yeah, that's all you do, man. That's all you do.
Well, I saw it in the theaters. My friend was like, Blue is the Warmest Color. That movie was wild. I haven't seen it. I saw it in theaters, and it was like two people in the movie. I was like, one person walked out. I was like, it's not that bad. It's not that wild, man.
Well, I need to see like Titan. You need to see some real.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was crazy.
I've never seen it.
The car scene? Bro, that was crazy.
Yeah, if you had some perverted movies.
That's wild. That's not movie. Yeah, that's a lot of movie, but yeah. Okay, oh, okay.
Ariel,
okay.
I gotta say something real quick, Ariel. I love the fit. It's really cool. Like the fit.
See, you have the best fits. You have the best fits. You know what I'm saying? You're a fashion icon. Fashion icon out here.
Wow, thank you.
Let's say.
She has a name too.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah. Oh, you do have, yeah, you have a cool name.
The uncle name. But yeah.
Just keep.
Okay, all right, so. I see you do drag shows.
And they're pretty lit.
Okay.
Thank you.
I've been to one. It's pretty lit. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, really? You've been to one?
Yeah. Yes, I have been to one.
Oh, nice. I've
been to one. Shout out to my friend Ashley for taking me. It was pretty lit. Wild. I didn't expect what I was expecting, but it was great. It was great. How did you prepare for like one? How do you prepare for one?
How do I prepare for a drag show?
Yeah.
So there's a whole ritual, really. It takes hours to get into drag. Typically, I like to allot myself 3 hours. I like to be at my home, either watching my favorite shows or blasting my favorite, like, get ready, hype, pop music, glue down the eyebrows, and put on my makeup. It goes makeup, outfit, wig. Okay. There's typically some panicking, you know, like some pre-show panic. I haven't performed in a minute, but I'm performing again this month. And so I'm definitely like getting that anxiety all over again.
Oh, no.
It's really fun to be on stage. And you know, then I take a car to the venue, and I like to hype myself up with what we call a walk around fit. So you arrive not in the outfit you're typically performing in. You arrive in a little scoochy dress, and you go say hi to all of your friends. You go make friends. You like walk around the bar like you own the place, basically. And then, you know, you'll go to the green room. You'll meet all the other performers. And then it's time to go. You'll get a drink ticket, usually, if that helps. A little drink.
I have a question. So, I guess this could be for all of us. So, when was the first time you were ever introduced to, like, drag shows?
I was introduced to drag at a young age through Project Runway because my mom and I would watch it, and there was once a drag queen episode, but I didn't know at the time that what that was until I was a bit older, and my mom and I started watching RuPaul's Drag Race together, and I didn't know that women could do drag. I'm a cis woman. I'm a queer cisgender woman, but I didn't know at the time when I was growing up that you could be a woman and do drag. And so I always thought maybe I'd have to go into burlesque or something or just appreciate it from the sidelines. And it really wasn't until college when I realized one of my favorite drag queens who I follow on Instagram, Prem Fatale, was also a cis woman. Did I like have my come to Jesus moment of, oh my God, wait, women can do this too? And at my local scene in Michigan at the time where I was going to college, I met my drag family through protesting, and the rest was history, I guess. I started performing at the local bars. I would have shows at least once a week. It was really fun, and it was a real queer family. Yeah, it became a lot more than just RuPaul's Drag Race. It was always
more than that
for me when I was really in the scene.
It's cool. Yeah, I was first introduced, it was funny, by Lady Gaga and her performance in Star is Born. I didn't really know what it was.
That scene, La Vie en Rose, with Lady Gaga in A Star is Born, made me cry like a baby because I felt like I was seeing my representation of myself on screen of like, look, this is a woman who's just welcome into this drag space and gets to perform like all the other girls. She didn't have like another title that was different than everyone else. She didn't get othered. Yeah. She was just like part of that space. And that's really like my own experience.
Yeah. Dude, she killed it in that movie. And also, side note, can't wait to see her in Joker too.
Me too. I love Lady Gaga. She's my number one diva. And I hate Batman. I've always hated Batman. Like when I worked at the comic book store. I've always been a Batman hater, always thought he was a cop, always thought he was like just some powerless rich kid vigilante who like does a lot of harm above good. And so I'm looking forward to seeing Lady Gaga take him down, you know? Or I just
can't wait to see the musical. Like, I'm really excited to see that musical.
I hope it's camp.
Right. Like, they got two great actors that I think are just going to absolutely kill it. When I heard musical, Lady Gaga, I was like, oh, perfect. Why not?
I want Batwoman so bad.
Bring back the musical.
Oh, yeah.
I want Batwoman at least one time. That's all I want.
I'll ask him much.
Sorry, Lauren. But yeah. Batman hate. Okay, so do you like a Bat family? Do you have a Bat family member, or do you just be like, yo?
My favorite character from that universe is Batwoman. She's like the first superhero I really fell in love with from DC. I've really resonated with her and her story as a Jewish lesbian and redhead, because I am I might have yellow hair, but I'm naturally a bit of a redhead. And so I loved her story and the artistry. J.H. Williams III on Elegy was just the most beautiful art I've ever seen in a comic. And I really like her. That was like my number one in DC forever and always, for sure.
Oh, how she her character is now, or no?
I stopped supporting Batwoman when the new 52 series had all the drama where they wouldn't let her get married, and and I believe Greg Rucka, I forget exactly who was in the boardroom meeting, literally flipped a table because they were so angry and walked off. And then they got this new team for Batwoman where she was just a sexually objectified bimbo, which like is just not true to her character, and was just really sad to see. So I really haven't been reading any contemporary Batwoman then. I didn't get why Ruby Rose was cast as her. I didn't really see that.
Okay.
You just grabbed the most famous lesbian at the time.
In her fairness,
I don't see it.
She tried.
Yeah.
And they were getting married. The fit, look, she was good to fit, fine. But other than that, I didn't expect it. But also, there's a lot of things that happened on this set, how they cheated her. I just was like, damn. Batwoman, the art is phenomenal. That art is top tier. It was top tier. I enjoyed that. That's why I got introduced to Batwoman. I was like, oh, damn, she cool. But I'm sorry. But yeah, right now she's on Detective. She also did a lot of murder, but she's okay. She's cool. She's character. She killed Clayface. It was pretty cool. I like that character. All right. What do you think? Do you think Dick Grayson should be Batman? How do you feel about that?
I honestly don't really keep up with Batman. I also have been kind of out of the comic book world for a while. But in general, I like the Batman stories that I liked were always just kind of one-offs, like The Killing Joke and, you know, those kind of classic one-off Batman stories rather than following through in a series.
I like it. All right. Okay. All right. How do you feel about the MCU right now? How are you feeling?
I literally never followed MCU when I was at the height of.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting.
I don't know. I could never get into it. Maybe it was just the time, which was around 2014, of when I got into working at the comic book store.
Yeah.
The MCU was doing a lot of team ups, and everything had a million characters. And for me, no real beautiful, fully realized story arcs. Ooh. So I think that maybe just kind of killed it for me. But my favorite MCU characters, when I really was in the business, was She-Hulk and Miss Marvel. I loved her debut. I was there for that. I remember when that first came out. And God, what was that there was a team up story I did really like. It was very much like on its own. And the covers were by Kevin. No, She-Hulk was Kevin Wada. And so I liked that. But then She-Hulk was also part of this team. I forget what it was called. It might have been A-Force.
A-Force is hard. If it was hard. If it was the build.
Was that like illustrated in that kind of old school style? Or no, I don't think it was A-Force.
Wait.
It wasn't A-Force.
Now
I have to look for it.
Now I didn't know what it is.
Illustrated by like a husband and wife, I believe.
Amanda, is it Amanda Connor? Old, like
Jack Kirby style.
Tommy Allen.
Amanda Connor?
Isn't
it? Did they do Marvel?
It was a character with the pink hair who became... Do you remember that? She was like a pink-haired pop star.
I see it in my head.
I see it in my head.
Hold on. I'm looking at it. I got it.
And
now.
Medusa. It was Medusa.
It was like a squad. It was like,
it was a squad.
I see it. I'm going to look it up now.
I know.
Okay.
It wasn't the Fantastic Four, but it was like...
Future Foundation! I know it was somebody.
That's like niche. That's I feel like that was
that's a deep cut.
And it was Matt Fraction.
Yeah.
You know?
And it had a boy over there, Freak Bull. It was he used to big copies of himself. Phantom X on him. Is that him? No?
I don't know, but it was Mike. It was Mike Allred. Did I think the illustrations?
And the effort was like, I was like, okay.
It was really well done. So yeah, my MCU relation is, I think, some deep cuts.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Do you like comic book movies? Or do you have a favorite comic book movie? Or no, what do you prefer?
Again, I have a problem with like big teams. So like even when like back in the day, like I had a hard time with like Avengers and like X-Men movies. So my favorite movies were like more solo based. Like, so I said The Killing Joke is like a Batman story. I also loved like the Batman, like the Dark Knight movies. And okay. I mean, even as like that got me from being a Batman hater. I loved that series. Maybe that's basic. I don't care.
Nah, dude. The Nolan trilogy is deep, man. Especially The Dark Knight with the whole, like, war and terror shit allegory and, like, the consequences of...
I like the new Batman.
The new one's great, too.
I like him, too.
Yeah, I liked... I actually watched it twice just to, like, kind of... Because I liked the visuals of it.
Beautiful. Oh, my God.
It was well done. The
flare scene in the waters. That shit was so cool.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. You drag, but also cosplay. Do you have a dream cosplay you would do?
Ooh, that's interesting. You know, in my drag, I do a lot of like Lady Gaga references.
Okay.
That's like similar to cosplay. Like,
yeah.
I do a lot of recreations of Gaga, especially when I was first starting out. But you know who I've always wanted to cosplay and I've never done it. And this was like a dream cosplay of mine since I was like, I think 14 or 13 years old was Adam Eve.
That's so cool.
That's my favorite character. That's my baby. That's my dog.
I have so much Adam Eve stuff in my apartment. I have like figurines and artwork. I love her.
Dude, I'm so happy she got a one-shot episode on Amazon.
My gosh, she's so cool, man. Adam Eve is so cool.
So happy. OP, too.
Are you liking Invincible right now? Are you liking it?
I haven't seen the second season yet. I saw the first season. And I really liked it. I remember, I think it was 2015, 2016 when they first like teased that there was going to be an Invincible animated series, and I was always like, right, they're gonna do it. They kept just teasing it, and like literally almost like probably like 10 years later it finally happening was crazy. So I love seeing how like Invincible is really part of the pop culture now.
Yeah,
like people I know who like never read comic books are geeked for Invincible, and that's, I think it's been really well done, and I like how it's like honoring the old illustration style of Invincible. Yeah, good for them.
Yes, yeah, no, so far he hasn't, like, Robert Kirkman hasn't, like, diverted these series like The Walking Dead did. Because I know that he wasn't super involved with The Walking Dead show.
Yeah.
But, like,
he left after a little bit, but it's still going. Yeah, like, yeah. It's still going on. The last Rick and Michonne, that's a brother.
Bro, that entire series, like, there's characters that shouldn't even be alive at this point. And no shit.
Hey, man, people
I also just love that it's really, like, truly just looks like an animated Ryan Ottley comic book. Like, it's the same exact style.
Love it.
Which is really cool.
Beautiful. Ryan Ottley is that man. I fucking love him. I remember the first time I met him, I was like, squish my head like you did Mark Grayson with Dinosaur. And I took a picture with him. I fucking love Ryan Ottley.
Wow. That's so cool you met him. I've always wanted to own, like, a cover he did, or like an original artwork from him.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
And I met him right before he got popular, too. Because right when he got to do Spider-Man, that's when he, like, I guess, got really big. And now all his lines are fucking ridiculously long. Every time we go to conventions, I'm like, oh my god. The price of fame.
Yeah. We know that we were the OGs, though.
Yeah.
gang.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if Tevin told you this, too, but I used to work at Comic Mania for 2 years.
Oh.
So, like, I used to...
In New York?
In the one off of Kirkwood Highway on Newcastle.
You worked at Comic Mania. That was my first comic book shop I ever went into.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Wait, I would go because I would take my bass guitar lessons. I still have that same bass.
Yeah.
I would have my grandma or my dad drive me on the way home from my bass lesson to stop at the comic store, Comic Mania, every Saturday. And I had such a crush on, I think his name was Adam, who worked there.
Oh, yeah, the son of
now. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't
he's
been
married and had multiple kids, yeah.
Multiple kids. Yeah, and he's actually the one who showed me Invincible.
Really?
And that was my first ever comic, because I went in there as I was saying earlier, I was a huge My Chemical Romance fan back in the day. And so I wanted Gerard Way's Umbrella Academy, which is why I first went to Comic Mania. And they were like, we don't have Umbrella Academy, but I think you'd like Invincible. And I would go every Saturday and get 3 new volumes and catch up. And it was huge for me.
So that was awesome. That's
Comic
awesome.
Mania.
That's
really
crazy
awesome. That you were there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, okay, like, everything you say about comic books is kind of very similar to me. Like, I fell off, and I was working all the way up until COVID happened. It was just my side job at the time. And when COVID happens, like, obviously I couldn't work there. And then, like, you know, I couldn't go buy comic books. And I kind of, like, fizzled out. And also, like, a lot of the mainstream shit was starting to get really annoying, because every time I get attached to, like, a series or a writer, they'll fucking shift to another writer, and then they'll completely do something different. And, like, a lot of the indie stuff, like, fucking, like, saved me. And I was mad, though, because Saga, I got really into Saga, and then they took that 4-year hiatus.
Yes.
So,
and that was, like, kind of when I fell off of comics anyway. So it's,
I mean, like,
get back into it.
I mean, like, look, it's indie. You take your time you need, because I know they were doing other stuff at the time, but there was, like, 3 comic books or series that made me cry, and 2 of them were Robert Kirkman. Like, I remember reading the ending of Walking Dead, and, like, it was a surprise drop. They were like, yeah, this is the last one. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Then Invincible, like, the ending of Invincible, like, got me, man. I was just like, finally, my boy finally did it. And a lot of people don't even know that Invincible was his first solo comic that Kirkman did. It's just The Walking Dead killed it, though. Like, blew up. But Invincible was the first one.
Yeah, I was into Invincible before I was into Walking Dead, and then once I had caught up on Invincible and I had my box at Comic Mania, that's, I think, when I started getting into Walking Dead.
Awesome.
Damn, she says box, man. I haven't heard comic box for love.
Hey. Oh my god, yeah. Yeah,
I used to get like a 25% discount for working there. So I used to
I used to have so much. Well, then I started working at the comic book shop, so you know I had my discount. I don't even know. I think I had a box there, or I don't know if I just got my stuff separate. No, I had a box. I had a box, right. And yeah, that was the dream job for sure.
Oh yeah, I didn't like a lot of the guys, like customers would. I mean, obviously get comfortable because they see a guy behind the desk, and they will say the most fucking crazy shit to me, and I'm like.
Yeah, what? I mean, it was great when I joined because there was this group of women called the Valkyries who were like women who worked in comic book stores. And so I really? Was like a part of the Valkyries and we kind of had this like solidarity of like women who put up with bullshit from men at comic book stores. And then, you know, there was a lot of movement in feminism in the comic book writing world as well. So like we had Bitch Planet come out and that was huge for the Valkyries. I think the Valkyries were actually like honored in like the back issues of Bitch Planet.
Really?
Like, I think they like, you know, they would do like stuff with fans and talk about certain things. So Bitch Planet was huge. And then of course, you know, She-Hulk with Kevin Wada doing these like incredible, empowering, beautiful covers and Miss Marvel and like, you know, there was a lot of really great stuff happening that kind of combated the icky, gross men of the comic book world.
So, did the Harleen book for Dark Horse? Like the, I think it's like the greatest Harley Quinn story. His artwork is beautiful.
Sunstone.
I don't know if I've actually ever read Harley Quinn, like a Harley Quinn story. I was really into the New 52 Birds of Prey. Yeah. Oh my God, you're throwing it back for me. I really don't talk like a nerd like this these days.
No, don't get me wrong. I don't talk like this either because, like, comic books are like my past life, and like I will always love it. And I have four boxes right here, and they're custom made. I have one that's Superman that has all my Superman, one that's Batman, one that's The Walking Dead. And another one, I think, for like Marvel events, and I have a shit ton in my closet in my apartment, but like, yeah, like if I open it, I'll probably like start tearing up because like that was like my life, man. That shit got me through so much.
That was literally my childhood. That was me coming into being a woman. I was offered this job. I was 16 years old. I was at a comic convention because I wanted to visit the comic shop's little stand, and Kate Leth was flown in from Canada. At the time, that's where she lived at the time, and was doing, I think, the Batgirl cover. And Batgirl had just come out, and I wanted an artwork from Kate Leth. And Sarah Titus, who was the owner of the comic book shop, like there, right then and there at this convention, offered me the job. And I was like, I literally told her, I remember it. I said, "You just gave me the best job of my life, and I'll never have a better job in my life. And I'm 16, like, I'm peaking right now." Like, and it's true, and it was really like she gave me her husband Titus, who passed away recently, Patrick Titus, her and him, they really gave me the space to grow and be a teenage girl, and I got to lead ladies night, I got to help with the LGBT gay comic book club. I had my own group called Teen Time that was a monthly book club for teenagers, and like
that's really cool.
I learned how to become a facilitator, I learned to become a community builder, and like, you know, I gotta go soon because I gotta go lead this block with ACT UP New York to go to this big rally for Palestine in Washington Square Park. And you know, would I be here like doing all this stuff as a community leader and being the woman that I am today if it wasn't for comics and getting that opportunity to be a leader and to talk about politics in the comic book world? Like, I honestly don't think so. And so I owe comics that.
Yeah. All right. First off, I gotta just say something. Like, I'm like just thinking about all this, reminiscing about the comic shop, and I almost start crying. But there is something that you said there that like kind of like hit a nerve in a good way about politics and comic books, and like how a lot of people would say like keep politics out of comic books. And literally, the first thing I will always say in those arguments is, have you ever seen the first Captain America comic cover? That was the most political cover probably of all time, him beating the shit out of Hitler. I'm like, comic books are always political. They're always in the sense of whatever's going on. Like, the entire 60s were Vietnam civil rights shit. I mean, like, come on. Like, it always happens. I mean, like, one of the craziest Spider-Man comic books were him seeing 9/11 and him not doing anything. He couldn't do anything. Like, politics and comic books are always going to mesh. They are always intertwined with each other. The greatest comic book movie to a lot of people of all time is The Dark Knight. Very political. Surveillance. So, like, come on. Like, so yeah, like, there's going to be, like, civil issues in comic books where it's gay rights, Muslim rights, everything. Like, come on.
Yeah,
like, they're intertwined.
And I loved making comics political. I loved being at the center of that conversation. Sorry, now I'm like, oh shoot, I gotta go organize this protest, but I want to take help.
It's okay.
I think that, you know, for me as a young feminist at the time, when I first got into comics, I thought that comics was a great place for women and queer people to find solidarity. Mm-hmm. And I loved talking about the politics of those issues through comics, and also just like having that representation. And the personal is political, you know, and like having these spaces as a young teenager to like talk about feminism, to talk about LGBTQ issues. I remember one of the teen times that I led was literally the day after the Pulse shooting. And being in that space with a bunch of young teenagers, a lot of them also queer, was really meaningful. And to bond over comics and something that we love.
You're awesome. You know? Well, like, we're like superhero.
You good, Tevin? Oh, he's stuck. He's in.
I'm here.
He's
I'm frozen. Here. All right. All right.
Oh,
I'm
no.
I was oh, like, there he is. Oh. Okay. Before you go, you have we really turned questions on to us now. Do you have any questions for us?
You'd like to ask us.
So what if I'm getting back into comics now, what should I be reading?
To you, Tim.
Robert Kirkman, Firepower is really good. It's basically Batman Begins and Iron Fist together. Green Man if you're into horror. There's so many things. She-Hulk is really good. X-Men are gonna be
Ultimate
Comics is back.
Oh no.
It's so many, Ultimate Comics, I don't know, it's Hack and Slash, just so many things you read, there's so many comics out there, so many things. DC's kind of
Wonder Woman, Dead
things.
Earth.
Oh, Wonder Woman by Tom King. Wonder Woman Tom King is really good.
Wonder Woman, Dead Earth.
Dead Earth is really good. Fucking amazing artwork. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman, Tom King, too. Really color and artwork, that would always be my go-to if I was leading a book
club. Derek William Johnson does fucking crazy artwork. It's basically a self-contained story where the world is basically nuked, destroyed, and Wonder Woman is the only hero there. And it's like post-apocalyptic. It is so badass.
Yeah. Also, Tom King, read it, please, God. Please, for love, God, read it. It's really good.
I'll read it a little bit.
Oh, you have it? Oh, shit. There, it's cool.
Dead Earth. Wow, that looks dark.
And Kelly Supercomic. Kelly Supercomic has a Wonder Woman comic, too.
I love her. Oh, my God, throwback. Yeah. Wow.
She's the GOAT. She's one of the GOATs.
Talk about this.
She's the GOAT. Yeah, I wanted you on the show because of that. I was like, I know you can't remember.
I was like, thank you so much for having me. It really means a lot, and it's honestly been great to kind of process how that my childhood in comics have really informed the person that I am today. So thank you.
I was like, people don't know Ariel's a goat. Ariel's a goat. All right. People don't know. The streets don't know. The streets don't know. So you gotta know. All right. Before you go, thank you for coming on. We appreciate you. Let the world know what you got going on. Tell us where they can find you. All of this stuff.
Yeah. So, my name's Ariel. You can find me on social media at Harsh Babe. On Instagram, that's harsh_babe. But more importantly than any of my social media, I'm an organizer for Palestine and as a Jewish woman and a queer woman, I organize with ACT UP New York, the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power. If you're in New York City, we meet every Monday at 7 p.m. at the center and on Zoom. And if you're a young person, if you're an older person, if you're queer, if you're a healthcare advocate, if you care about human consciousness and ending a genocide, I really invite you to follow ACT UP NY on Instagram and to plug into our movement. So that's ACTNY on Instagram. Give us a follow. Come to a meeting. Awesome. ACT UP, Fight Back, and AIDS Free Palestine.
Okay.
What's up, Blanco?
Do you think? Benny, where can they find you? Where can they find you?
You can find me at Instagram at Benny J. Blanco and on the. And that's on Instagram and X at the Benny J. Blanco. What about you, Sailor?
You can find me, Sailor Gaines. Mr. Davis is your nasty at TikTok, Instagram, your mom's house. I'll be everywhere. I'm everywhere you need me. Put the signal out. I'll be there. We love you guys. Thank you, man, for your time. Hit the like button, share, do all that good stuff. And Ariel, do you have any words of wisdom today? What do you want to tell the streets? Somebody owe you money? Say, give me my money.
Someone owes you money. Give me my checkbook. Someone that
whatever you
hurt
need.
You. Okay. What type of wisdom that you have to say?
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm just we've been facing a lot of loss in my community, and I'm really trying to just center love and gratitude and hope right now. Okay. So if I can share that to the streets, love and solidarity
That's what we need. I'll be different. Shout out. Whoever had my Dispa Jones trailer paper back, I'm coming for you, okay? I'm coming for you. No. I don't know where you are, but I'm coming for you. I need that. My omnibus. This is my omnibus. But thank you.
Omnibus.
Have a good day. Yeah,
thank
also,
you.
It's an omnibus. All right. I love you. Have a great day. Be safe. Bye.
Bye.
Offensive word.